offer a variety of experiences, including interactive art projects, workshops, storytelling, vendors, food trucks, music, and of course, tattoos. Hosted at the Mille Lacs-owned Intercontinental Hotel, Akito Festival is open to all ages. Tickets are available online at theticketing.co. For Minnesota Native News, I'm Deanna Standingcloud.
Minnesota Native News is produced by Ampers, diverse radio for Minnesota's communities, made possible by funding from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and the citizens of Minnesota.
Fresh Air Community Radio is KFAI-FM, Minneapolis-St. Paul. Online and archived at KFAI.org. The community's true voice.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
What's up? This is Toolman.
And this is Bear Witness.
And we are the Hallucination.
And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, Best Of.
The Hallucination.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut any cut deep.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Chujung, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by J.S. Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
Wow, we are really, this is going to be a jam-packed show here, and we're really excited to have Willard on again, and really good to see you, Willard. Do you want to introduce yourself? And we got a lot to talk about, and we have Anna on the next segment, too, talking about the march tomorrow, but it's great to see all your work that you've been doing. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thank you. Hamatakiapi, Willard Mailbear Jr., enrolled in Standing Rock. I'm the owner of Iktomi Tattoo over here in South Minneapolis, currently sitting in my home. I was going to try to shoot this over at my art center and tattoo shop, but it is packed right now. So luckily, I live four houses away, so I just walked with my laptop over here. So please excuse if my big black cat jumps in the way. He will probably make an attempt here pretty soon.
Well, we love that. We were on 9 years now, and we've had a cat that my wife talks about the sacred animal section of our show, the cat always shows up. So we're used to our relatives with tails and hooves and whatnot. So we're all good with that. Willard, welcome.
Yeah, nice to be back. I feel like it's been almost a year, probably a year around this time.
Wow.
I think since last time.
Wow. Well, let's talk about what's happening, because there's some exciting things happening that you're involved with that's coming up really soon in March, and let's get right to it.
Yeah, so March 14th, 15th, and 16th at the Intercontinental Hotel, me along with my tattoo shop will be hosting a Indigenous culture festival, which will be featuring tattooing, music performances. We're trying to squeeze in some like cultural performances, and we have a phone call today with someone. We're trying to do a moccasin game, and there's some immersive art rooms. We have around 40 vendors lined up. So we'll have, you know, just a nice Indigenous atmosphere for everyone to come support Indigenous economy and Indigenous talent. And it's really just trying to be a festival, you know, something where all of our non-Indigenous relatives and the Indigenous community can come in and experience something, you know, either get a tattoo, learn about Indigenous tattooing. If you're non-Indigenous, learn more about, you know, certain aspect of culture and just, you know, participate and support Indigenous economy in the Twin Cities and sort of the surrounding areas. We have tattoo artists coming from Canada, California, over on the East Coast. And we have, if you're aware, Superman's coming through, which I'm super stoked about. And Stella Standing Bear. We got some local talent from like Joe Rainey. Let's see, Thomas X. Jada Brown, which I'm pretty excited about. Jada comes to the Art Center quite often. So I've seen her perform in the Art Center a couple of times and definitely stoked to have her. And Sean, Sean Trashier is a homie. I think it's going to be a cool show. And we have, we just locked in Rob Fairbanks, the comedian. Hopefully he's going to come and do some sort of performance in there. Yeah, I think it's going to be a cool thing.
Wow, that's exciting. That's really exciting. We've had Superman on over the years, and he has got a great national following. And, of course, Haley and I really love downtown Jada Brown, as she likes to be called, yeah, yeah. Right, Haley?
Oh, yeah, for sure. We love Jada.
Yeah, and so let's back up a second, too, because we got a couple of segments. Let's talk a little bit about you and what you got going on. As a Lakota artist, you have your tattoo shop, and you have a community art area in the back. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, Iktomi Tattoo, it's been open for, a little over a year. It wouldn't be this most recent September, but the September before that, we started tattooing in that space. It's been under construction for probably almost 2 years now. It took us a while to open up the tattoo shop. Attached to the tattoo shop, though, is nonprofit that I'm the executive chairman of called Art Shelf. Basically, it's a free community art center. We take in creative material donations, and we have a bunch of art materials in the space for people to come and use for free. And it's kind of just resident. It stays in the space. But we also give out free canvases. We give out free like illustration paper, things to draw on. So that way people can come in and just make art with no costs.
So like tonight you were saying that the place is packed. Tell us a little bit about that. What's going on there?
So we have like a set of usuals, I'd say, that, you know, typically about 3 p.m. people start strolling in and setting up their little creative stations. It is all volunteer organized over in the Art Center. So, you know, this is around the time when the volunteers shift out. We're open noon to 8 every day in the Art Center. So, you know, I would say maybe 2 or 3 people are in there around noon and stick around. And then about this time of the day, usually like kids get out of school or people get off work and they start kind of flowing in to start making art. And the tattoo shop's usually busy randomly. I would say it's been a while since we've all tattooed at the same time, but even if there's 5 of us in there tattooing, well, there's 9 of us total, right? So just imagine how crazy that can be when there's 9 of us. But when there's 5 of us in there, it feels pretty crazy. But every once in a while, we'll all be in there and it's just like mayhem.
Let's tell everybody where that's located so it can be double mayhem.
Yeah, it's over in South Minneapolis in Uptown. Depending on how you look at it, it's either the beginning or the end of Hennepin, right? So it's on 35th in Hennepin South, which is like a block in from the cemetery over here. I like to think it's the beginning of Hennepin because eventually it turns into Larpenteur. So yeah, we're just over here in South. And the Art Center is literally connected. There's 2 separate entrances, but they're connected on the inside.
Wow, that's really cool. And we see a friend of ours, Angela Vig, said she loves her tattoo, and it's a great tattoo shop. And we love you too, Angela. Good to see you, and always listening. And Big Guitars on Snelling Avenue. I just want to give her a big shout out, and Native owned guitar shop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, so tell us a little more. We got only about a minute left in this segment, and we want to get dig deep again back and talk about what's happening on March 14th and the 16th, and you know, a little bit about your story too, because I know you have a really I don't want to say unique story, but a powerful story when it comes to where you're from and where you're at and where you've come from, and we'd love to talk about that.
I'm currently 7 years sober. You know, about 5 years ago, I was released from incarceration, and, you know, having made a real commitment to sobriety and to remain crime free, it's been quite the journey to build a life from, you know, pretty much nothing. I got out of prison with maybe like $100 and a pedal bike, and just stayed true to that commitment and stayed true to that bond with Creator to pursue culture and family. And I feel like it's just one thing after another is built up from there.
Hey, we're here with Willard Mailbear Jr., Lakota, and founder of Art Shelf, and we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio. Ho-wa.
To our elders who teach us of our creation and our past, so we may preserve Mother Earth for ancestors yet to come, we are the land.
This is dedicated to our relatives before us thousands of years ago, and to the 150 million who were exterminated across the Western Hemisphere in the first 400 years' time.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, wow, we have a great show going on here. We have our friend and great friend here, and what a doer, Willard Mailbear Jr., and he's Lakota, and he's founder of Art Shelf, and we're talking about this big event, too. We were just catching the end of your story and how powerful that is, and I just want to commend you, too, that I'm in recovery, too, and I know it's not an easy thing, and I wanted to say a big congratulations, and you're showing what sobriety can do and good things in our community. So Willard Mailbear Jr., I just want to say a big peenie-geegee and a big shout out to you.
Thank you. Thank you. I think maybe it was the summer powwow in Shakopee when your relatives told me that you had a huge celebration on some sobriety time. It was a big number, if I remember right. So, you know, that's not easy to do. So congratulations to you, too.
Thank you. 40 years in November. Yeah. Of course, I was 5 years old when I sobered up. Oh,
nice.
No, I was 23 years old. So, yeah.
I was like, okay. All right.
Still really involved in recovery. So you got to give it away to keep it. And that's what you're doing, Willard.
Yeah, well, what would be cool is to have you come to our art center. Every Friday night at Art Shelf, we have a speaker in recovery. Typically, we like to have them be artists. Pretty sure you would qualify as an artist. Would love to have you come and we do like a 15-minute sort of share with a group of artists in recovery, and you just kind of share your story, and it's a question and answer format. It's a pretty cool meeting. Just come check it out one of these weeks.
Yeah, definitely. What time is it?
It goes from the pizzas get there at 7 o'clock. It's sponsored by Pizza Luce. So we get free pizzas. Pizzas are there at 7. People set up their little painting sessions around that time. And then the speaker starts at 7:30. And usually I do the introduction. So I'll talk about creativity and wellness and sobriety. And then the speaker usually starts at about 7:40.
Yeah, well, I definitely will come, and I appreciate that. You know, there's questions that we have too here, like, you know, owning a tattoo shop and being an artist. What led you to the idea of the festival?
So, you know, I feel like being a tattooer and someone that you know, I love music, I love performance. And I mean, I go to festivals and I go to tattoo conventions. This last year went down to an indigenous tattoo convention down in Albuquerque. And, you know, at that time we were already organizing some like smaller music events through the nonprofit. And it was just kind of like, you know, what would be cool when we were down there, we're like thinking out loud, like it'd be cool to do something like this up in the Twin Cities, and just kind of just came together. And, you know, we hit up some, you know, vendors and just some other people in community and kind of brainstormed and was just like, yeah, let's go for it. And we just, you know, reached out to some locations to kind of see, you know, what resources were out there and venues that would be available. And it just kind of came together with, you know, the Mille Lacs Corporate Venture and the Intercontinental Hotel in St. Paul. So, you know, it was, it just kind of all came together.
That's right on. You're a doer. And in the name of the festival, what does it mean?
Akito is it's a contemporary Dakota word for tattoo. There's a couple variations of it, but the way it was originally taught to me was it's Akito, sort of like a two like word, but into one word sort of sounding. But it's where it came from. We, you know, we were going to call it the just a Teoshpae festival, but it just kind of came together to be Akito. To be honest, we tried to put a lot of thought into it, but the way a lot of this festival came together was like first thought was just great. And then, you know, we would kind of be like, should we actually call it the Akito Festival? And then we were like, threw around some other ideas and we just kind of stuck with it. I think it works great.
Wow, that's very cool. There was somebody, one of our longtime listeners just asked if I had a tattoo. Yes, I have a huge tattoo in my on my back, but now that I'm 64, I never take my shirt off, so I probably need some ink on my arms. Oh, but yeah. I got a big old tattoo in my back, but no one will see it now because Bobby P's pretty flabby, Haley.
Oh, yeah. Well, you talked about getting some ink on your arms, and that's what I plan to do that Sunday at the festival. I'll be getting tattooed by Shannon Joyce.
Cool. Hey. Yeah. I need an applique around my wrist. That's what I need. So I always have an applique on. But yeah, so let's remind everyone, because we, Willard, we have an audience from all over the country here. Let's remind everyone the dates and where it's at and how they can find out more information.
Yeah. So it's March 14th, 15th, and 16th. So like a month away. And it's in downtown St. Paul at the Intercontinental Hotel. You can find out more information at akitofestival.com. Or if you check out our Instagram, it's just I think it's just Minnesota Akito Festival. But yeah, check us out. Give us a follow. We'll be giving away some weekend passes here as we get closer to the date. I know Superman's going to be doing a giveaway for weekend passes. And Gewaden, which is one of our like ambassadors for the event, will also be giving away some weekend passes. And if you follow our Instagram page, we'll be giving some weekend passes away as well. And a reminder, ages 4 and under are free and 60 and over are also free all weekend. And we have some cool sponsors out there, the Minnesota Fund, Native Care. We just got a newer sponsor. I think it's like the Sweetest Grass from Cass Lake. And EMI Audio, and I swear there's another one I'm totally spacing and I'll probably end up getting in trouble for it. But Good Judy Tattoo Supply Company. Yeah, cool. We have some great sponsors, but we are looking for more sponsorships. If anyone is interested in that, feel free to reach out to us through the website. We also have some more room for vendors if anyone's interested in joining the vending market. And if anyone has any like cool art projects that they want to present at the festival, just hit us up. We're looking for all levels of collaboration.
What's really cool, it's open to everyone. And I want to remind with your help, Willard, about our relatives that are white allies out there that come to these things and support this. Anything that's for sale, you can wear. In other words, you know, if there's earrings, don't worry about that. You know, I think, so let's talk a little bit about that, because I think sometimes our white allies out there that listen to the show are a little timid to come to powwows and come to these things. Let's talk a little bit about, this is for them too, to support us.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I try to, you know, cause I have, you know, some non-Indigenous, I consider family, that tattoo with me at the shop. Right. And, you know, they are my family. And I always think back on like the way Sitting Bull talked about, you know, when colonizers were coming in, he was always like, you know, I wonder why our white brothers and sisters are doing this to us, you know? And I like to think of like, even people that are against me are still my relatives, you know what I mean? And I just want people to know throughout our entire community, whether they're friends, allies, or against us, I consider everyone a relative. And to just make sure that like anyone that, you know, comes in a good way is my relative and is a relative of the community and is always welcome to come and support and learn. You know, and I think that's why we wanted to make sure that everyone understands that all relatives are welcome to come and support Indigenous economy and Indigenous talent.
Awesome. Yeah. And exactly. And that's a great way to be talking and to our relatives all over. So I just want to, before we get going here, we're only got a minute or so left. I want you to give a shout out to the other artists that are at your shop and how they can get people that are interested in getting a tattoo, how they get a hold of them and who they are.
Yeah. You know, so at the tattoo shop, Deanna Johnson is super talented. She's from Cass Lake. You know, they're like Haley said, there's Shannon Joyce, Coleman Stevens. We got Donnie Chapman, one of my apprentices, Henry, Gary. I feel like Gary is like the uncle of the shop, just has all the experience and is just probably the most handsome person at the shop and just is such a blessing. I swear. If anyone knows who I'm talking about, they could contest to just how awesome Gary is. You know, and we got, you know, everyone is on the website. Feel free to just, you know, look us up, at iktomitattoo.com. I feel like I'm forgetting. Oh, and one of our newest artists is, Alex. He's from Ukraine. He's super, super talented artist too. And, just kind of immigrated here this last year. So, you know, we're all on the website. Feel free to reach out. And again, thank you so much for inviting me on and having me back on. Yeah. And I was trying to get Superman to come on today, but it didn't work out for him, but he said anytime in the future. So let me know.
Yeah, well, we got to get you on and not make it a year. We'll have to get you on a couple weeks before the festivity. So, Willard Mailbear Jr., a big peenie, thank you for all you do in the community, and thanks for coming on.
Yeah, wopila. Thank you.
Oh, hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break.
KFAI and Women Folk Radio are proud to present Mary Bew's February 16th release party for her highly anticipated new album, The Wildness of Living and Dying. As the Star Tribune says, the singer, songwriter, and mystic veers between fiery 90s fuzz rock, bittersweet melodic pop, and intimate Steve Nicks-ish musing. Taking place at the Parkway Theater on Sunday, February 16th, the show will feature Mary Bew's full band and special guest Mae Simpson Duo. More info and tickets at theparkwaytheater.com.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1, U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Robert Pilot. Hey, our guest here is Arvina Martin, Emerge Wisconsin Executive Director, not CEO, Executive Director. I got that in my notes here. Thank you, Haley. And great to see you. And geez, there's a lot going on. And I want to jump right into a little bit what we were talking about last time we saw each other. And that's Deb Holland had this really cool ad that just came out.
Yeah, she has announced her run for New Mexico governor and came out with a really great ad that I think it's kind of a teaser ad to the official announcement. But, you know, she's really speaking to a lot of the issues that folks in New Mexico are thinking about. She's addressing rural communities. And, you know, I think it's really exciting. I already donated to her campaign. I highly suggest others do the same so we can elect the first Native woman governor in the United States. I mean, that would be incredible. And I will fly down for her inauguration.
Yeah. And we'll have you live down there because she's been on the show many times and maybe you can do an interview for us. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be really cool. I got to spend time with her. Is it last week or the week before now? Time somehow means nothing anymore.
Exactly.
That we had the DNC meeting where we elected new leadership, and Secretary Holland was there and was supporting a Native candidate, Kaylin Free, who was running for one of the vice chair positions. And it was really exciting to hear the words from come out of her mouth that she was running. It was really exciting, and I may have had a moment in front of Auntie Deb.
Well, not, I think we're having a moment now. We're both getting our eyes are a little watery, but also what's really exciting, and we need to bring this up as many times as we can because we have new listeners all the time, is that she's an alumni of Emerge.
Yes. Yes, she is an alumna of, I can't remember which class off the top of my head, but she participated in the Emerge New Mexico training program. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is the same program that I run here in Wisconsin, where we train Democratic women and non-binary folks who feel comfortable in female-centered spaces on how to run for office. We actually get to, and thank you for the great segue, Robert. We train, like I said, Democratic women on how to run for office. And that means giving the nitty gritty to everything. We talk about how to knock doors, how to figure out how many doors, do all the election math that is finding your win number, figuring out how many doors you need to knock to reach how many supporters. It's a lot of math and formulas, but you know, we're giving you tools for the toolbox, because one of our really important missions at Emerge is not just supporting women candidates, but supporting campaigns that are authentic to the person who is running, so to the candidate. We don't put out a one-size-fits-all method. We, like I said, give you tools for your toolbox to use. And, you know, something that will help you run for city council like I did in 2017 is, you know, it can be just as helpful if you're running for U.S. Senate. And, you know, the lessons that you learn really, really prepare you for a great run.
So are any of the lessons I heard a long time ago, and this was canvassing, I think, for the 2020 election, is that they were saying, you know, not to waste your time with somebody that has their American flag out year round, because they are not, they're most likely to be MAGA people. I know that isn't a hard rule, because I've seen Harris signs out there still too, but is there like little tidbits like that?
Yeah, actually in Wisconsin, this is well known in the campaign world, is that you don't do any voter contact on Packer game days.
Yeah. I
so
believe
while
it.
The Packers are playing, you should not be calling or knocking doors for your candidate because people get mad. This is a legit rule. And so use that time to do other campaign related activities.
I believe it. I don't know. Would that, Haley, do you think that would be true here in Minnesota?
I mean, maybe if we ever won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, probably not. We're apathetic. We're sad. Hey, speaking of Super Bowl, Arvina, I know by following you on Facebook and we follow each other, that you know, I think a lot of people's initial feeling, including mine, I just did not want to react because I wanted to see really the breakdown of the halftime show. That ends up being so amazing with all these, you know, what are they called? Easter eggs are in them that I had no idea. I mean, do you have anything, a response to that amazing halftime show?
I thought it was amazing. There was a lot of subtext that I missed as well. I like Kendrick Lamar. You know, I've liked him for years. And this new, the new stuff that he's putting out is like, it's insane. It's so good. I mean, Not Like Us won all those like 4 or 5 Grammys. And I don't know if people know that Kendrick Lamar is Pulitzer Prize award winner. And I think the first rapper to ever receive a Pulitzer. But I knew that watching it, that there was going to be a lot of stuff that I missed. And so I, you know, spent most of the second half of the Super Bowl looking on social media to see what everybody's takes were and to see all of the interpretations. I wasn't entirely sure if it was Serena Williams because her hair was just like so beautiful and like and kind of covering her face and just the way it moved, it kind of obscured her face. And I thought it was her, but I was like, what if it's a Serena lookalike? But you know, it was I thought it was really cool. And actually the singer SZA, who sang the All the Stars Are Closer, and I can't remember the name of the other one, but her outfit was designed by a label founded by a Native man. Haley's not in your head, so I'm wondering if she knows the name.
I don't know it out. I don't know the name, but I know it's based out of L.A., Los Angeles, I think. Yeah, it was like the red leather that she was wearing, the whole outfit.
So that was a cool connection as well. I mean, as my Facebook friends know, I was digging out my flare jeans to find those from a long time ago. But I thought it was awesome. I thought that Uncle Sam being Samuel L. Jackson was amazing on several levels. He's just awesome. And but you know, the role that he played was kind of the stern, you know, telling everybody to participate in like respectability politics and such. And
be less ghetto.
Yes.
To quote.
Which, you know, I'm sure maybe Kendrick Lamar heard people saying that when he was putting his whole work together. Because I mean, I thought it was very artistic and just I can't thoroughly and appropriately explain all of the takes, but I encourage people to go look up folks who have, you know, put out their hot takes and their interpretations. I've already seen folks who have lesson plans to teach kids about that and how people use metaphors and similes. I just thought that was amazing.
I shared that too. Well, one of the things too that was visually strong, if you're an old person like me that has hearing aids, was that he was walking down the middle of the flag, meaning that, you know, we are a divided country, and those subliminal messages out there, Arvina.
And he was doing it to, I believe the song that was playing, that he did that to was Be Humble.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but like, I mean, the fact that he played that in front of Donald Trump kind of was one of the layers that I liked about it.
Speaking of Donald Trump, it's come out that I was kind of shocked because I didn't really watch a lot of the pre-Super Bowl stuff. But when they showed a picture of him that during the football game or prior to the football game or just before the football game, I should say, there was a lot of cheers. But now we found out Fox News and Fox Network put cheers in there because I'm seeing all these. Yeah, that's for sure, Arbina. I've been seeing all these live videos of him being booed to Kingdom Come, and then I'm going, well, that doesn't make any sense. And now they found out that they're piping in cheers for the watching audience.
Wow, I did not know that. That's diabolical.
Yeah. Yeah, because I was really confused because I thought I was going to hear a lot of boos, and that popped up and was like, ooh. But then again, people that were there and the other networks across the world had the real audio. And that's how people knew that Fox was messing with us.
Wow. And, you know, Philly fans like to boo everything. I mean, they're the ones that threw batteries at Santa. So true.
Yeah, right. I remember, too, there was a lot of stuff when back in the day of the baseball team, you know, too, but that's
hey,
don't be sorry. Hey, this is Arbina Martin and this is Native Roots Radio, and we're going to be right back. Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin and our friend from Wisconsin and a Ho-Chunk. Ho-wa. We'll be right back. Native Roots Radio.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. And we're going to be talking to Heather Fahey, a Mohawk Nation and registered pharmacist, a medication therapy management provider at M Health Fairview, and Pam Gokey, who's Ojibwe and youth service director at American Indian Family Center. I just want to say a big peeny gigi. Thanks for coming on. And Heather, Wendy says hi.
Tell her hello.
I will. Welcome, you guys. We're talking about a powwow coming up on Sunday, March 9th at Johnson High School. And I think it's really important, Pam and Heather, to talk about the person that this is named after.
I totally agree with you, Robert. I do have a little background if you'd like me to share. I certainly would like to do that.
Yeah, let's do it. Put those cheaters on.
Yeah. I just wanted to let you know that John has been in the educational program here at the St. Paul Public Schools in Indian Education for the last 20 years of his life. He received his bachelor's at Augsburg. He went to college at Augsburg, and I believe he received his bachelor's at Metro State. And He earned a master's degree in educational leadership over at the U of M. He was an amazing father. He had children, grandchildren, plenty of nieces and nephews, many, many friends. And I believe the children that he worked with and served were his children as well. He was a very welcoming man. He would bring you into the community, let you know that you're welcome. If he had a tea in his hand, coffee, food, he would hand that to you and say, welcome to the community. Mm-hmm. And I came to this community in 2013, and I always felt like I was at home when I was sitting at the Indian Education Building here in St. Paul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And Heather, one of the things that I have to say about John is that, you know, I was a St. Paul public school teacher for 30 years, and I was on the parent committee in St. Paul. And one of the things John never did was hold a grudge. And he was always very cool because, you know, we had heated discussions about our kids, and it was, but all sides were like, you know, what can we do best for our kids? But, you know, John Bobling never held a grudge, and that's something to be said in these days and people in, you know, I just have to say that.
Yeah, I would agree with all of that. I only knew John for a few years, but I have kids in the St. Paul Public School Indian Ed program. And then I did get the opportunity to work with him in our work at M Health Fairview. And exactly like you said, Pam, he was so welcoming, so open. You just really felt at home in his presence. And when we kind of offered this idea of M Health partnering to host a powwow, which is a little odd, right? We're a health system, we're hospitals and clinics. Like, why are we involved in hosting a powwow? He was like, yes, you should do it. Like, he didn't say, no, that's kind of weird. Like, he was like, absolutely, you should do that. And so we are, you know, this, we are honoring him because he was on our planning committee. He was the first person to say, yeah, let's go ahead and do this.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting, Pam, is that I spoke up at his wake at the Indian Center, I believe it was. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And one of the things would be great if we could name some school or something after him is what I proposed.
I love that idea, Robert. You know that he was always there for the kids. If I could share a real quick story with you, there was a mother that called me a couple of weeks before John had passed and asked me if I could find a tutor for her child who lived out in Cottage Grove. And I said, I'll do my very best. So I was looking for the tutor, you know, and then I did find a tutor. I called her up and she goes, tutor, I don't know what heck. She goes, I just have to share with you that John Bobolink was my son's tutor. And what I'm trying to tell you from the story is that he didn't care where the kids were located in our state. He didn't care where they were located. He wanted to help them and get them through school. And this was a young boy that was in junior high and he was struggling. And he tutored with that young man right up until he couldn't tutor anymore. So John was all about our kids. He was out there and he wanted to get them to get through school and for all of us to work together. That's why I believe that's why he didn't hold a grudge, because we were supposed to be there for our children.
Yeah, absolutely, Pam. And Pam and Heather, Pam, I know that first heart. Whenever there was anything that went down at the school that I taught at, he was first boots on the ground talking to the principal and finding out what was going on and advocating for our people and especially our young ones.
Yeah. Yeah, he was there all the time. And like I said, with that welcoming gestures that he had, he just made you feel so at home. So I just I was one of the lucky ones to be able to have gotten to know him and was a good friend of him. And I'm going to miss his voice at the powwows. And seeing the powwows.
Yeah, it's amazing that you say that too, because it seemed like it was a couple weeks before he passed. He was helping MC a powwow, if I remember right.
Yes, he was. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, and I went and asked him how he was doing, and he was, like, really honest with me. He said, I'm not doing well, and, just a few weeks later. And these are people that we have to amplify and talk about and have powwows named after them because of what they've done in the community, Heather. And I applaud both you guys for really spearheading this. This is a big deal, and this is needed in our community for healing, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, and I think, I certainly cannot take credit. One of my partners in crime, Monique Nelson, she's our cultural broker at M Health Fairview, and she's housed out of American Indian Family Center. This really was her idea, and I think that she really sees this, I should say she brought the idea forward, and she was probably the first to just have this vision that this is a way to invite that healing, especially in a healthcare space, to build up some of the trust, so that we are there in community, we are building relationship with community, many of us are community members, and so. Just to know that it's, like with M Health Fairview, not only are we building relationships with our partners, but we're not just this big sign on a building, right? Like we are real people with real connections, and we want really to just strengthen the relationship and know that when healthcare is needed, that this is a place that can be trusted.
Yeah. Hey, we're here with Heather Fahey and Pam Gokey, and we're talking about honoring John Bobolink Powwow, Healing in Four Directions, on Sunday, March 9th at Johnson Senior High School. I taught at Harding for many years, and so we always had a big rivalry with Johnson. And I was just at the powwow last week. It's a great place and great parking at Johnson High School, Pam.
Yeah, just to mention that, most of us volunteers, our staff and our vendors are all going to be parking in the back of Johnson High School, and our visitors will have the front of Johnson High School parking lot. Hopefully we can get that thing filled up to the max and then onto the streets. That would be really nice. So March 9th, grand entry is at 1:00. Our feast is at 6:00. Last year when we did our feast, we had lunchbox or, boxes of food. So that way the people that our community could either take the food home with them or sit at the table and have a feast. It was their choice. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited about this powwow this year. I'm not sure if, I believe our MC, let me put my readers on.
Hey. I never take mine off.
Our co-MC, I don't know if anybody knows where this is going to be. It's going to be at the Johnson High School, Senior High School, and that's in St. Paul, and it's 1349 Arcade Street. And our co-MCs are Jerry Dearley and Deanna Standing Cloud.
Very cool. Nice. Very cool. Mm-hmm.
And then our head dancers are Dennis Gilbert, who is, I believe, John Bobolink's nephew.
Yep.
And Afton Delgado. And then we've got co-host drum group, which is it's a youth group, and they're called Painted Elk Singers. And we are trying to honor John's vision of keeping our children involved in the community. And so this is what we're really striving for. One day, my vision, and I think John would approve it, is that have the kids do a committee, be on the youth committee, and start working these powwows, and maybe even just have a youth powwow, have them run it and have them do everything. So let's see what happens with that, because I think our kids are ready to do that.
Oh, that'd be awesome. And Yeah. And, you know, too, John was really involved. We used to have monthly powwows in St. Paul Public Schools, too. And we talked about earlier, I believe the 14th, there's going to be a powwow at American Indian Magnet School, too. So we got the indoor powwow season happening. We're really excited about this. And you guys want to hang on for another quick update before we let you go? We got a break for commercials here. Pay the bills. All right. Keep those glasses on, Pam. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us. Ho-wah.
Join us for KFAI's special Black History Month programming. This year, every week throughout the month of February, we celebrate Black History Month by amplifying new Black voices. This week, we explore new voices in leadership, new voices in art and expression throughout the Twin Cities. Join us Thursday, February 20th, from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m., all throughout the month of February, celebrating Black History Month here at KFAI.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. We're here with Heather Fahey and Pam Gokey, and we're talking about honoring a John Bobolink powwow, Healing in Four Directions, on Sunday, March 9th at Johnson Senior High School in St. Paul. Welcome back, you guys. One of the things that that's kind of come up here, and it's pretty interesting too, Heather, when I've seen you in the past, you've been tabling for a blood pressure, and you always have really long lines, and so, you know, how much trust in healthcare professionals and do natives have? And I know you're native, so it's easy to come up and get blood pressure, but how is that and how does that work?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's lots of reasons why a lot of our community members don't trust the healthcare system. Of course, it goes back generations and generations. You know, this is a system that was really not built for us. And we have not traditionally been included in, you know, really any of the implementation or, you know, a lot of like the data that goes into evidence-based medicine. Our ways have not generally been included or thought of as valid. So I think to some degree, a little bit of exposure therapy hopefully helps. Yeah. I do think that it makes a difference when you see somebody who is working in the field, who looks like you, has a similar background to you, has some of, you know, the same stories. Obviously, you know, I'm Mohawk, which is not traditionally from Minnesota. Actually, really thinking back to John, when I shared some of my family stories, I can see his head nodding, just a lot of the same kind of family histories. So I think it's one helpful way to build a relationship, you know, to see, like I said, see someone that looks like you, and then to know, like, if I have a relationship with that person and I say, like, okay, well, seems like, you know, you need a little bit more than just a blood pressure check here today. And I can recommend to somebody that I trust that's hopefully getting things going in a positive direction. But I think, you know, to touch on that as well, there's not a whole lot of Native people that I know in healthcare. We are doing a lot of work currently. I can say even personally, like within the mHealth Fairview system, to start to include, Indigenous wisdom and viewpoints and perspectives. Monique and I started an employee resource group where we are called the Indigenous Healing Circle. Cool. So really, yeah, it's just a space for mHealth Fairview employees who are Native or Native allies. You know, first and foremost, just to connect, because I can tell you, for most of my educational and career journey, I've felt like I may be the only Native person in my spaces. Whether that's true or not, you know, I don't know. But it certainly felt that way for me. So we wanted to have just a space where we could start to connect and just to know that each other are there. And a lot of the employees are on their own, you know, learning and kind of their own journeys of connection. So we wanted to create a space to connect within the system, but then also to be able to connect with community. So we are also involved in contributing to the powwow, hosting different events in community throughout the year. We partnered with St. Paul Public Schools, with American Indian Magnet School, AIFC towards the end of last year to help host one of the community nights. And we did a drum and dance teaching, because when we hosted the powwow last year, we had a lot of people, you know, from whether they were Fairview employees or just community members that we know that had never been to a powwow before. So we wanted to offer the opportunity for people to come and learn about, you know, what is the significance of the drum? What is the significance of some of the dances that you saw when you were there? Just to be able to, again, like put some of those, you know, connecting the dots and putting some of the pieces together, just to strengthen, I think, any of that connection, whether you're a Native member of the community or not.
That's awesome. Wendy always told, or I asked Wendy years working at Fairview, and asked her about the, because she could never really talk about who she'd see, but she always mentioned, she always would ask what nation they're from, and that would knock a brick down. And then she'd say that my husband's Ho-Chunk, and that would knock down a lot of bricks that, you know, we're not trustworthy because of our past history. And so it's great to have you look like us, and also our allies that know about us and that we can trust.
Yeah, so a lot of the work that we're doing within the employee resource group, but then also just system-wide, we're working on Native health equity initiatives so that we can spread awareness, you know, so that anybody can come in from the community and, you know, for example, like we're working on a smudging policy, which is shockingly harder than it should be, I think. But like, we want this to be a place that, you know, if somebody's in the hospital or, you know, they're in a space where they want to be able to smudge, our policy is the answer is yes. You know, they should never be told no. The answer is yes. You might have to make a few movements, you know, like maybe the exact space you're in can't support that because of, you know, can't have an open flame like near oxygen tanks and things like that.
That's open.
Right. But that's the thing, is we want it to be like we're changing policy, we're educating across the system so that when people come in and they ask for those things, they're not, that the answer is never going to be no, or I don't know what that is. Like, that's not an acceptable answer.
Well, I had an all Native homeroom and we smudged all the time, but just in the last year or 2 years, the St. Paul Public Schools has made, under John Boblink's direction, be able to smudge. So that's cool that you brought that up. One thing I want to do, Pam, before we let you go, the show is ending here. Is there anything happening, and there always is happening at your work, and what's happening in the next week here?
Okay, let me just run through this. We usually carry a full, we usually do a full moon ceremony once a month. So this Wednesday, we'll have a full moon ceremony out at Belwyn. And then we will host community sweats. We hosted a youth sweat. We were supposed to, usually the first Thursday of every month, we have a youth sweat. The first Friday of every month, we have a women's.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at KFAI.org, non-commercial, community-powered radio.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic, please.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic.